since starting and to this point, we've actually wholesaled about $260,000 worth of deals.
Nice. In less than, in about 8-9 months from starting.
Yep.
That right there, what you just said, is what will separate you from everybody else.
So some of the people we've wholesaled deals to ended up becoming our private money lenders. Mm-hmm. And that's the great thing about this is that through everything we do, we meet people and we see the power of just networking. And a lot of our deals that we're dispoing are actually through just repeat buyers.
All right. Well, I'm excited to do this interview with you guys. You guys are a 3-person team, I take it, right? The 3 of you are partners.
That's correct.
Great. Well, it's exciting to get to hang out with you guys, get to learn from you guys. And we've got, tell me who we've got, Edgar, Carson, and who else?
Tyler.
Okay. And I'm excited to learn a little bit about your partnership. You know, in the business, we see people that run solo. We see dual partnerships. Don't see very many 3-person partnerships. I'm curious how you guys structured your business that way, how you guys came together. But you guys live in Chico, California, correct?
Correct.
And you're fairly new, got started in July of last year. So it's been about, what, eight, 9 months or so since you guys started. What I love about what you guys did is you took massive action. You, from my understanding, you studied for like 48 hours and then started getting on the phones and calling. I love that. Now tell me, why were you able to do that so fast? You come from sales background. Were you already doing something that wasn't so much of a barrier to entry to like start talking to people? Tell us a little bit about you guys.
Yeah, Jerry. So me specifically, I was in banking for 12 years and I did a lot of commercial loans, just personal loans, all types of home equity loans. So when you were talking about that on the YouTube video, that all we're doing is creating a package that competes with conventional financing, I already knew conventional financing. So I said, oh, great. I've got what to compare to, so I can speak the verbiage. I can communicate it well enough for the seller to understand what they're getting into. And so, it was a pretty easy transition, but I just needed you to kind of put the puzzle together for me on what the possibilities are when we're underwriting any specific deal.
Gotcha. Yeah, that does make a big difference. I think in the business, if you can learn vocabulary and you can learn it well, it puts you in such an advantage in the marketplace. Especially financial vocabulary, understanding what loan to value means, understanding what loan to cost is, or percentages of equity, and just being able to navigate through what a deal is from a lender's perspective allows you, from an investor's perspective, to just have such a leg up on how to talk to people, how to underwrite, all of it. So that's great.
I think that for Carson and I specifically as well was super beneficial in terms of us getting started quickly, because prior to wholesaling, we had purchased rentals and started building a personal portfolio. So real estate had been, you know, on the forefront of our minds in terms of what we wanted to do. We just hadn't really had the segue of active income into real estate. We only had looked at flipping as that, you know, vehicle. But then we discovered wholesaling and left our jobs and just went all in on it.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think when you learn the wholesaling model, there's nothing that compares to it. I mean, there is no other business model. The liquidity and just being able to transact on a high level, because once you figure out how to transact and you can now start to streamline, automate, build processes, put money into marketing, then now you can roll through deals and you can really start to see some income come through the door. So it's a powerful strategy. So then how did you guys meet and become a partnership?
So initially when I first started wholesaling, it was on market and I got my very first contract, promoted it on Facebook. And then Tyler reached out, he was on Facebook, Ty the Investor. So I said, oh, this guy must be an investor. And so sure enough, he was actually offering a JV with me. And we found out that we preferred to JV with each other because they have their licensed agents. So they also knew their way to navigate around on-market deals. And at the same time, just the way we communicated, everyone was always on the same page. So I knew that to scale, there was no way I could do it by myself. And they kind of felt the same way. And so when we finally just found each other, we said, we have to do something to where rather than have one person's goals, we'll get each of our goals and multiply it by 3 and make it each other's burden. And so we've just gone on and do that. And since starting and to this point, we've actually wholesaled about $260,000 worth of deals.
Nice. In less than in about 8-9 months from start.
And majority of that has come since January 1st. Since January 1st, we're at over 200,000. So we're hoping in our first full calendar year, we could break 500,000. That was the goal at the beginning of the year, but we're thinking we might raise that up a little bit. So.
Yeah. I think you guys definitely should raise the bar.
Edgar brought the on-market aspect to our attention prior to Tyler and I becoming realtors, but mainly Tyler and I had been focusing on the off-market model. We started with a VA and we were cold calling ourselves, and we kind of saw really quickly that that was only scalable with a big team of either VAs or associates, and so we eventually pivoted to text blasting with Launch Control. We saw kind of ramp up at that point. But even more so now, I know I wanted to have Edgar touch on, something that we wanted to share with you guys, our bot.
Yeah. We actually started AI texting people, a bot. And so we tried many different ones. And so they brought their off-market expertise. I brought a little bit of experience from my wholesaling on-market, just negotiating, being in escrows. And then I saw what they were doing and saw how much time they were spending on it. And I said, we got to automate this. And that's where the AI bot ended up solving that.
Mm, that's great. Yeah. So love to hear how that's working for you. Are you doing that in a mass or how are you doing that to stay under the radar with some of the mass texting stuff that's going on?
Yeah, we're doing it in mass. We did kind of outsource the bot initially to some folks that said they were up to current with the A2P laws and the 10 DLC registrations and all that. And so we kind of found someone that knew a little more about that than us, which is why I say the teamwork is so imperative, is that you just find people rather than just become a master at all of it. We just found someone who just knew more than us. And we've kind of put our full faith in him. Turns out he knew how to develop the bot and improve the bots. And so we've actually got a custom built bot that we've used. And that's actually how we get majority of our deals. We've managed to put our developer's personality into a bot, and our bot is very unique.
That's great. So it feels interactive. It feels like it's a live conversation.
Yeah, it's so dialed in to the point where it makes mistakes 4% of the time and then corrects its own mistakes. So it's literally we saw the text that we were sending on Launch Control before we transitioned fully over to the bot. And we compared that to what the bot was saying. And just to be honest, the bot was better than we were.
Wow, that's cool. Well, off topic, but I'd love to test it out and have you guys share with me kind of how you're doing that. I'd love to learn more about how your bot's working. That's cool.
We were hoping you'd say that, Jerry. So what we'll do is you just have to text the word Bidwell to a phone number we'll share with you, and you'll engage with the bot yourself and test it out.
Okay. That's cool. Yeah, that's great. I mean, I really feel like the way of the future is to embrace technology as much as we can. It'll never replace everything. There's always going to be that human element that will, you know, survive through AI and technology, but
right.
It doesn't mean that we can't streamline a lot of the steps and a lot of the process.
Yeah. You brought up the reason why we went with this bot, because all other bots we found were trying to replace the wholesaler versus just be used as a tool that would extract motivation. So our bot is trained to try to find two of the four pillars of motivation. And as soon as it triggers two of those, it'll go ahead and send us a text and say, call this lead. And so we don't want it to replace us. And we were trying other system that's what they were trying to do. And then just kind of funnel it into where it became an incoming lead. But we saw a lot more frustration with people who weren't interested. And as you know, there's a lot of risk for lawsuit in that. So we just wanted to make sure we weren't dabbling in a gray area or exposing ourselves to too much risk. So we just said, okay, let's just develop our own. And that's what we've done now.
Yeah. And you guys are going to have to be nimble with it because, I mean, the way regulation is going is it's going to become harder and harder, and they're going to enforce more, fines are going to become more. And so, you know, the text platform at some point in time might become obsolete or more challenging.
Okay.
So I just think about, you never want to be in business, especially in real estate, where you're overly fixated on any one model, any one strategy, because in real estate, you have to stay so flexible to adjust And the people that do the best and make the most money and continually succeed are the ones that adapt very quickly. So like I always use the reference, I don't ever want to be the Titanic and hanging on while it's sinking, right? You know,
right.
And some people do that and they hang on to the sinking ship and they go down with the ship rather than see the hole in the hull, right? And know, okay, this sink is shipping. How do we adjust quickly now? Like one example is for me with On Market, you guys know this since you do On Market, is the double dip strategy is the entire model for On Market wholesaling. Like if you take that away, you lose any competitive advantage and you know, you're no different than everybody else now. Well, with the new commission reform, how's that going to impact the double dip? And so this is something that I'm thinking about all the time. I'm quickly adjusting to and looking at, well, how are we going to do this a little differently now? How do I still create a competitive advantage with On Market? And all it's going to mean now is I develop new models and new ways of doing it based on what the market gives us.
Right.
You know, even though I've been using that model for 20 years, it doesn't mean that I'm so attached to it that I either let it take me down or I'm unwilling to change or unwilling to adapt.
Right.
And so anyway, I think that's great that you guys are embracing technology. You're doing that. And then also in the back of your mind say, you know, if all it takes is one regulation to shut this down and we know that that's a possibility, then that's okay. We're not going to be out of business. We're just going to adjust on the fly. And what does that look like? How do I stay one step ahead of that? How am I also testing other models? It's like marketing channels, you know, like whenever I get a marketing channel that's working really well, I know in my mind that I've probably got a window of time before regulation changes it, competition changes it, something happens where it's not going to be as effective anymore. So I'm going to ride that wave, but I'm going to watch it closely. And as soon as it's not as effective, I'm at the same time testing other things so that I'm quick to jump on the next thing that might work a little better.
That's smart. And that's kind of how we're looking at this as well. And that's, we recently are starting up PPC and other different strategies to make sure that we're also doing so many JVs. We've been connecting with people all over the country because our bread and butter and what we are really good at is Carson and I really specialize in the acquisitions part, but Edgar is like the dispo genie, and we can dispo deals anywhere at a very quick rate. So we've been really putting it out there that anyone with deals, you know, bring us your deals and we'll partner on them and help you get them sold. And that's been great for us. I think we've done 6 JVs in the last like 2 weeks or something. And so just really, like you said, you know, multiple marketing channels, making sure that deals are flowing in from different areas. If one gets X'd off, so then your business can continue pushing forward. It is very important.
Yeah. You know, there's a couple of ways you can look at a wholesale business is many markets versus one market and many marketing channels versus a single marketing channel. And it's not that one or the other is right or wrong. It's just, what do you resonate with? How do you get set up well? And how do you stay diversified so that you can continually grow your business, even if things stop working or stop working as well? Right. And even PPC, like PPC is very interesting to me because in some of my markets, like my dedicated markets, we absolutely annihilate it with PPC. Like we convert so well. Other markets, we really struggle with PPC. So it's never just like a blanket thing. And then over time, it can change too. So just because it's working today doesn't mean that same marketing channel is going to work tomorrow. And I think a challenge that a lot of new wholesalers have is they come into wholesale real estate and they want to learn one way and they want to hang on to that way. And they think that that's going to be the way that's going to work forever. And it's just not how it works. And they get themselves in a lot of trouble because they overly attach to any one type of thing. I even look at like my exits. Like I don't ever want to be just a one trick pony that only does like assignments. So we do double closings. We do assignments. We do novations. We do creative. We do wholetail. We do some flips. Like I want to be a transaction engineer, not a wholesaler, not a rehabber, not a buy and holder, not any one thing. But I do want to transact at a very high level. And so what does that mean? It means I'm open to look at every deal I look at. I'm asking myself, okay, well, what's the best solution for the seller and what's the best exit that's going to make me the most money and the least amount of time, energy, and effort? And what does that look like? And whatever that looks like is the model that I'm willing to follow. And yeah, that gives me so much opportunity because I can do multiple different strategies. Right.
Right. Right. No, that's exactly right, Jerry. Well, that's what we're trying to do. We've done double close. We got our first flip going because sometimes the profit is just so good. And we had a couple friends in the construction side of things that we can also keep employed. So now we kind of have them as part of our, you know, secret weapon on getting things done. We've been able to purchase a house. So some of the people we've wholesale deals to ended up becoming our private money lenders. Mm-hmm. And that's the great thing about this is that through everything we do, we meet people and we see the power of just networking. And a lot of our deals that we're dispoing are actually through just repeat buyers. So we'll hit our repeat buyers list. We don't go out and text anyone, which it's always just an organic phone call. Tell them about the deal. I'll meet you at the house. Kind of thing. And it's just grown into these relationships that say, hey, whenever you have a project that needs money, we got you. And so it's resulted into 100% finance on two purchases. And so we got a 9-house portfolio deal in contract, and we can wholesale all 8, but one we couldn't. So we got an investor and he put 100% of the money down. So we were able to perform because the purchase was actually contingent on buying all 9 properties. But then, you know, it was $90,000 assignment fee there. If we didn't perform on one, we wouldn't get the money. So we said, let's just make some calls. And sure enough, we had one guy willing to just put all the money up for us. And we're just waiting for tenants to move out and the guys are going to list it on the market. So we'll even make some money on that house as well, because we got a pretty big discount getting all 9 at once.
That's awesome. Wow, that's very cool. So you made 90 on the package of the other 8?
90 on the package, and we anticipate making 30 on the flip
when
we
sell
the house. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that's really cool. And that's there in your market in California?
Yeah, we're in Chico. The house is in Oroville, California. So up here, everything north of Sacramento is our bread and butter right now.
Gotcha.
If I could say one thing that we've really specialized in, it's making sure that we're getting the property at the right price 9 times out of 10. And putting good deals in front of investors, which makes them want to come back and continue working with us because they know that we're going to get those deals that match their criteria.
That right there, what you just said, is what will separate you from everybody else, because there's a lot of wholesalers that follow the model of just lock it up, put it out to the market, and then see what happens. And that's a very dangerous model. Not only is it inviting regulation like crazy because you fall out of contract a lot and then that's bad publicity for us, but people stop taking you serious. Investors stop opening your emails. They stop taking your phone calls when there's a lot of uncertainty as to whether or not you actually are bringing a deal. Whereas if they can count on you and you've created the brand recognition in your market as actually having good deals, next thing you know, everyone's fighting over looking at your stuff, and you know you're selling for way higher, and people trust you, and the numbers you give them are accurate and realistic. You know, you're not inflating ARVs, you're not inflating repairs. You're actually very real, and that just pays itself over 10 times in the market. Like, it's playing the long game is to be legit at what you do.
I think one of the biggest compliments you can receive as a wholesaler is when an investor buys your deal sight unseen, because they trust your numbers and they trust that you underwrote it correctly and your repair costs are on point. And that's where we've gotten, and we're extremely blessed. You know, thank God that we have the knowledge we have. But
that's cool. You're doing it that way. That's awesome. Yeah, good for you guys. I'm so proud of you guys for where you're at this early in your business and doing the right things.
All glory to God, Jerry.
That's right.
All glory to God.
And you guys are doing some creative too, right? You're taking down and wholesaling creative.
Correct. Yeah. Like I said, we learned it from you. So you said, hey, it's competition with conventional financing. We've actually got some people to say 0% down, zero payments, like a novation structure. So we've had one novation in contract. It'll be our first one. And we've already done a couple sub-2 options with some people. Sometimes sub-2 ain't the best thing. And that's what we're learning as well. Sometimes the deal makes more sense as a cash deal, but we just find out what makes the most sense. And we try to put it together for our investor.
Mm-hmm. What's been your favorite deal so far that you're just super proud of or worked out really well for you?
For me, it's the 9 property portfolio. Yeah. I mean, that was awesome. Just because we had, how long did we have? 14 days?
Right.
We had 14 days to sell all 9 houses, and 4 days before, because we thought we had it lined up with one person and he kind of was dragging his feet, wasn't doing exactly what we thought he was going to do. So we had 4 days to sell 9 houses and we got it done. And I was just super grateful to have the team that we have, because our backs got put up against the wall, and we had $15,000 of earnest money on the line. So to be able to just get it done and prove to ourselves like we can do, you know, bigger scale deals, it was just super awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that is a cool deal. That's a cool story. You know, kudos to you guys. And it's fun too, to see, like, you guys, you can see some synergy. Like, I can feel you guys have this amazing energy in your company. And I think that feeds off itself. So you guys are constantly building each other. And if you think about a partnership, you know, I tell people all the time, if you're in a partnership, if 1+1, or in your case, 1+1+1 equals 3, then there's real no advantage to being in a partnership, because, you know, you guys have to split things 3 ways. But if 1+1+1 equals 5, or probably more like 10, then what you're doing is the synergy that you guys bring together is exponentially compounding. That's a smart partnership, because your strengths, you guys can feed and build off of each other's strengths and really create something amazing. And it seems like that's what you guys are doing.
Yeah. The one thing I think we all initially bonded over was just a deep rooted belief in the Lord and, you know, putting God first.
Yeah.
And I think also we've also naturally grown into our positions within the company, because we want to grow something that eventually will operate without us overseeing it, obviously. So like Carson's really heavy on the acquisitions and the CRM and managing all the leads. I've kind of taken over project management, making sure escrows are going smoothly, people are showing up to the appointments and walkthroughs when they should, and Edgar's super heavy on the dispo. And it just kind of all happened synonymously and easily. And I think the how naturally it happened just is another testament to kind of what you were saying. We all feed off of each other and we work really well together.
It's easy to get discouraged in this business, because you do have to talk to a lot of people and face a lot of rejection. But what would be some advice that you could give somebody that's brand new getting started?
I would say that there are places where people who are doing what you want to do join and put yourself in that circle, because opportunity will come when you're around opportunity. I guess that's, I don't know if that's the best way to put it, but like, go to your local meetups, go meet investors, go make sure you don't stop calling, because you never know. It could be that next call that you get your deal. So more than anything, it's taking action, kind of like we've touched on throughout this whole interview. It's, you have to actually do the process versus just learning about it, because there's only so much you can learn about without doing it. You actually have to, you know, immerse yourself in what you're trying to do, take massive action, put yourself in the right group, surround yourself with the right people, and you should figure it out at that point.
Yeah, I love that. That's great advice.
Yeah, I would. My advice would be to do everything that you can do for free, right? MLS is free. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's a very good starting point for people to learn what the actual real estate purchase transaction looks like. Because if you're someone like me, I had never bought a house before. So like, I understood the concept of escrow, but I didn't know what happens after someone accepts an offer, you know, what's next. And so I actually read the contract top to bottom before signing it. I'd probably recommend that as well, because I learned just simply by reading the contract. And then at that point, I just started feeling more comfortable in transactions. So I would say if someone can learn where they fit in the real estate purchase life cycle, and we are at the tip of the sword, we're the negotiators, then we also have to understand the mind of the investor and get an idea of what he's looking at when he's underwriting deals. But you won't even understand that if you don't understand why this person wants to buy a house. And that's where, you know, your desire to bring them a good deal and their desire to buy a good deal, if you don't understand those things and where you fit in that, it's just going to be very hard and you won't value yourself. And just going to, you know, struggle or just not do it. But I think you just got to, you know, do it. Go out there and just give it a shot.
Yeah, I love that, man. You guys are great. This has been really fun. Love your energy. Love your excitement. Guys, leave a comment and say, Bidwell Homebuyers, you guys are flipping geniuses.